Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote, Cheeseburger Life Coach, and Ice Cream Downward Spiral.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, Cholito performer, and Highball Coalition Builder. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry.
Cholito perfumer.
Perfumer, because apparently I smell like Cholitos.
Have you guys experienced the Cholito yet?
Oh, this is something you may have.
I have. But I haven't had one in a while.
Okay. I'll bring you one.
Thank you. Eddie walked into the hotel earlier and smelled straight up like Cholito. So
right around the corner we have
with jalapeno.
Yes. I had an empanada, a santeña, which apparently it smells like a Cholito. We'll let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a copy Cholito odor out there.
It's not a bad smell. You wear it well.
No, it's just if you're on the cumin, that's pretty much it.
I was attracted to you, that's all I'm saying.
This is also the last episode of our season. Of our lives, as we jokingly made on April 1st.
That one is still coming back to us. Last night, somebody asked me if
constantly thought that we were.
We made a dumb joke on April 1st and said this is our last episode, and everybody believed us.
April Fools.
And so, yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. jokes on them.
Are there any April Fools jokes in your kitchens, or is it like you cannot do anything?
I didn't do anything.
Last year we just iced people.
I don't know if that's an April Fool's thing.
Yeah, because we do it regularly.
That's just mean. That's just hazing. Well, these two who are talking in front of us, we are joined by two ambassadors of the LA restaurant verse, each with their own firebrand under direction of Asian cooking in America. Mei Lin, chef and owner of Nightshade, which was just named one of GQ magazine's best new restaurants in America. And John Yao, chef and owner of Kato, a finalist for this year's Rising Star Chef Award at the James Beards, which is this Sunday.
Holy fuck.
This Sunday.
I don't know if we're going to win, but
you're
going to
win.
You guys have a DC.
Do you have a tux ready to go?
I do. They did a thing for us or Pellegrino did, where they bought us a suit. So it was quite nice because I couldn't afford one.
Pellegrino?
Yeah, Pellegrino.
Is it like all green and Italian lettering all over it? That's great. Oh, okay. So you're right. Is your entire kitchen going? Your entire restaurant?
That's a lot. Me and my sous chef are going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know of a couple of restaurants here in DC that are be rolling very, very deep.
Oh,
very,
wow.
Very deep.
Well, each ticket's like around $400. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we can afford to take our entire staff because they're not fronting anything.
No, I assume, yes, giving a ticket to the awards show is pretty pricey, but I guess the rest of the time, everyone just kind of hangs out outside of the awards show, getting drunk.
We're eating quite well that week, so we're very excited.
Good.
It sounds like you guys have been eating well since you were in D.C., that you went to Reverie last night?
We did. We went to Johnny Sparrow's Reverie last night. Super amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The duck, we were talking about the duck earlier, mm-hmm. but the duck is highly controversial in D.C.
What do you mean?
Well, in one review, our Tom Sietsma, he said that he hates licorice, which is what the duck...
Oh, right, he did not like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a go-to thing but that everyone
like,
gets there,
But
though.
Everybody gets it, everybody
it's beautiful.
It. Yeah.
But you also got to meet a special guest at the restaurant. It was Johnny and Alexi's newborn...
Fiona.
Fiona, yes.
She's so cute. I love her.
She did cry a little bit in the restaurant. How do you feel about babies crying in restaurants?
You know, I'm not going to say
choosing
her
words
it,
very wisely. Here comes the hot take number one.
Yeah.
Nothing babies, against Fiona. Okay.
No, nothing against Fiona. I don't love it. I think in the beginning, like when you come in the beginning of the shift or when the restaurant opens, I think it's fine. But I think like later in the night, it gets a little distracting. But also because it gets louder,
right?
And louder, and you know.
Babies
as the restaurant, you know, kind of progresses into, you know, getting busier and busier. So I think in the beginning of the night is totally fine. And, you know, she settled down. I think, you know, she didn't have her naps in yesterday. So
listen, I think we've all
been
there.
That's probably why.
We've all been cranky at a restaurant.
No, for sure.
Crying in the corner.
We've actually had a lot of breakups happen at the restaurant.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
We've had 4 breakups so far.
Wow.
In the restaurant.
But who's counting?
Well, apparently there were,
it's happening, and it's pretty like it's right
happens
there.
It happens at the counter, so like there's
it
like,
happens at the counter. It happens at like tables.
There's
I mean,
no
we have an open
it.
We have an open kitchen, so right. We can see everything. So it's been pretty. It's still a little awkward for sure.
I think that is like one thing about this industry is that you get to see all spectrums of humanity play out. For better or for worse. I mean, we see engagements, but we also see the breakups and just weird things.
Laura Hayes, actually, the feature story in this week's Washington City paper, Laura Hayes asked bartenders about dating. Not dating within ourselves, but what they see when they watch people date.
Right.
Yeah. Mostly, I think the general consensus is people are really weird and they're dirtbags. It's like, just act normal, people, when you're out on dates. Don't break up in public. And just, you know, don't peacock.
I feel like taking people out to coffee is like how you break up. Not taking them out to a nice restaurant.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. Like that's kind of.
Oh, but in LA, it's probably taking you out to like a kombucha. Is that what you?
A kombucha.
Sure. They sell kombuchas at coffee shops now. Yeah.
Because we actually I just saw the first breakup I've seen at our restaurant like maybe like 3 weeks ago, and they were having a great time. You couldn't tell, and then towards the end, like,
yeah.
You have a tasting menu. It's a tasting menu.
Yeah,
and it's
so
small.
You can't, like, he had to have planned it out. He couldn't have told him near, like, in the beginning. Like, it happened near the tail end. She was bawling. I thought he was going to pay for it, but she was like, they split the bill.
Good for
oh,
her.
Man. Oh, it's rough.
It's rough. At Pineapple and Pearl, yeah, I used to see a lot of that. We'd start off, everybody's dressed really nice, and then at some point, somebody would say the wrong thing, and then one person would leave, and the other person would get double. The tasting menu. It's not paid for.
I'll admit, I have been guilty. I have been one of those breakup people.
Oh wow.
Well, Alexia,
sound effect us, please.
Not a breakup. More like a very public fight. But this is before I started working in industry.
That's fair.
Yeah. It was with Manny Moore.
Yeah, right. Well, listen. Before we get too far down the line, let's do some weekend recap.
Sure. Merriam-Webster is adding a bunch of new food words to the dictionary, including ghost pepper, cheesemonger, which I was once, and go cup.
I feel like emoji like already beat him to the point, like already beat him to this, which is kind of weird in this day and age that emojis are beating Merriam-Webster.
What emojis are we
well,
missing?
I'm like. Maybe not cheesemonger.
How many versions of eggplant do we need? Chinese eggplant?
Thai eggplant?
Come on.
Also happening in the near future, District Darling Big Bear Cafe is playing host to a vegan Filipino Tibetan pop-up featuring Dorji at Dorji Momo's. They're going to be doing some fun stuff on where'd you go?
May
13th.
Okay. I was just reading this earlier. Gabrielle Hamilton, she writes for the New York Times on a regular basis. She wrote about a beef carpaccio recipe, but she also talked about her restaurant Prune, which is about to turn 20 years old.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Been a stalwart of New York. Both of you have just... I mean, your restaurants are fairly new.
They have that fresh restaurant smell still.
How do you feel about like the longevity of having your restaurant... if it were to go that long?
I mean, I think having that much, I think having longevity in general is great. I mean, granted, I think it really just depends on like what your lease plan is too.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially in LA.
Yeah.
LA's kind of different. They like go with the trend and people get over stuff quite quickly.
Yeah. Well, and there's a bunch of new restaurants opening up all the time. So.
Yeah. And John, I mean, you've been very apparent about the fact that, you know, your current space isn't your forever space.
Right, because I kind of fell into the space. It wasn't mine to start with, so we are actively trying to move out. But we've been there for, it's coming on about 3 years. So
awesome.
That's way longer than I expected to be there, for sure.
Yeah. Time, I don't know. We had a couple of designers on earlier in this season, and they were kind of talking about designing for longevity and time being spent and the space being used over time. It's an interesting thing when you think about your concept and how it's evolved in that space in the 3 years.
Yeah, because I'm starting to realize like the quality of like your workmanship and like the material really matters in design for sure. Because even as we're nearing the 3 year mark, I'm having to fill in like a bunch of like wooden like elements in our restaurant.
Sure, you become a carpenter.
Well, my parents are interior designers, and they have. They have like a production factory, so we're making all of them ourselves. But yeah, like you have to have longevity in mind for sure when you're building out pieces, even plates. Like we were just talking about,
yeah,
plates,
breakage.
Yeah,
all that.
Breakage is a real thing.
Yeah, especially when things cost a lot of money. It's
yeah,
a huge deal.
Because nowadays, not a lot of things are built out to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever fits the trend, whatever people are into.
I mean, that is a lot of LA style design trends. Yeah. It's very, you know, neon signs and a lot of bright colors and everything's very shiny and new. Mm-hmm. But we don't see, I don't know, more of an, I'm going to make a huge generalization, it's a more of an East Coast thing where we have wood and the materials that seem that just like last longer.
Yeah, we don't have cobblestone roads.
Exactly. I mean,
there are some up in,
but we still have but we still have a lot of the old vestiges of like colonial America.
Yeah, we have Abraham's hitching post just down the street. It's pretty wild. Let's see what else. Street food, the documentary.
Yeah, the series. The
docu-series.
From the Mind of Chef's Table.
Is, yeah.
Coming out.
And it's getting a lot of attention.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it because they're finally highlighting chefs that normally wouldn't be highlighted?
Well, yeah, exactly. Not a lot of white talking heads. It's very female-driven. So go check that out. All right. Well, this is Shift Drink. What are we drinking here?
We had a very specific request.
Very.
Well, I am having kombucha, turmeric ginger tonic from Kavita.
Now, is this something that you're kind of pumping into your system all day?
I like wouldn't say
treat,
all day.
A treat
I'd,
that you say for yourself.
I would drink one during like beginning of service and during service. Sometimes after service.
Yeah.
But you said it's much more accepted and regular than here, where I feel like if you're drinking kombucha, it's a thing still.
I think it's all over the place and all over the West Coast in general. You see it at coffee shops. I mean, it's everywhere. So, and there are, you can actually go to a Whole Foods and you can just refill it. Like bring like your own container and refill your own kombucha. So it is definitely
kombucha,
a thing.
Kombucha growlers.
Exactly.
John, you picked one of the more quirky flavors. And
one of my favorite flavors.
Yeah. You were very, very excited for this flavor.
Because I read the question and I was like, they're asking about a cocktail for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a cocktail or a drink, but
I'm doing a La Croix pineapple strawberry, which is our poison of choice currently. We drink a lot of these. We get like cases weekly.
Excuse me, it's the piña fresa flavor.
Oh, I couldn't do it with the accent.
Line.
I didn't want to try.
now picking a flavor of La Croix, it's like you're drawing a definitive line in the sand here. Like, people go to bat for coconut or...
Oh, coconut's trash.
No, it's so bad.
Well, I was just telling May, like, we stock cherry and lime at home just so I can, like, filter out the people I don't want in my life.
Yeah. That part is one of the better flavors. I also love the passion fruit one.
The passion fruit one.
Passion fruit is really good. Yeah. I think apricot is my favorite.
That one is good.
Oh, everyone's looking at me. I like the the blue can. The blue can.
The plain?
That's just
which
plain.
Is no flavor.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm such an asshole. No, I have not met a single person who likes coconut.
Honestly. What? I love coconut.
Oh.
The coconut look
cool. It's my second favorite.
Matthew, I learned so many new things about you.
I really thought I was going to like the cola one, and I think the cola one is abysmal. That's my least favorite.
There's a cola one?
Yeah, I just saw that. It just doesn't sound good to me. Yeah. So...
I'm obsessed with, like, the idea of cola and the flavors. It's a combination of five different flavors that are very common. We're talking citrus, we're talking cinnamon and lavender, and somehow that makes cola. I don't know. It's crazy.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
We'll get one a flavor that hits all cylinders.
All right. Now, I think Eddie Kim asked you two to prepare a little thing we call Two Truths, One Lie.
Two truths, one lie.
Did you both do your own two truths, or did you do a combination?
It's a combination.
It's a combo tag team.
I love a good combo. Okay,
great. All right, fire away.
I'll save the best for last. But
the best lie for last is
we stayed in a haunted house together.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
I guess we can elaborate after, right? Well, I'll just like...
We can ask a couple questions.
This is a combo because you guys are friends.
Yeah, so this is all shared experiences we've had together. So that's our first one.
Okay.
What is the second one?
I don't remember.
It actually involves Mexico. Experienced a car... breaking down in, like, the slums of Mexico.
Oh. Okay.
It sounds very similar to last week's story. Okay, so we have a haunted house. A broken down car in
Mexico.
The land down south.
And the third is we'd like to announce that we're opening a restaurant together end of 2019.
I mean, we're no strangers to breaking big news here on Shift Drink, but...
We've kept this fairly quiet.
Pretty quiet.
I mean, Googling it right now.
Hey,
John and I hang out quite a bit.
Stop cheating. What? If it's out there.
All right, so you guys are friends. I know you guys have been to Mexico together. I saw something about eating at Noma together in Tulum. I feel like that one is true. Haunted house.
There are haunted houses out there.
I want the third one to be true, but I feel like it's false.
Yeah, they're not going to announce it on our show. Yeah. We're not that big yet.
We're not that big.
Yeah, I wish. Yes, so you are not opening up a restaurant together. That is our final answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe not in 2019.
Okay, so we won. Great. Add that to the belt.
Okay.
One of a few victorious. Ticks.
We forgot to mention, Eddie, that you and I are not drinking Pina Frias LaCroix. We're drinking...
your favorite flavor. You can present it.
It's not my... Listen, this is Pina Colada, so there's pineapple in there as well. Hard seltzer. It's not bad.
That's cool. I've never seen that before.
Smirnoff Hard Seltzer.
Is that the new ice?
That
it could be. It might be.
But you'd have to, like, shotgun this.
Ugh. Well, I was going to say, the coconut LaCroix itself is kind of like the new Smirnoff Ice. You just give them to people that you hate. And hopefully they finish it, drink it very quickly.
Oh, man.
Matthew is opening up a second.
That's quite
apparently
refreshing.
You like it quite a bit. I am double fisting these two thin cans. Anyways...
Haunted house.
Haunted house. Wait, so what have you talked about opening up something? Is this something that you want to collaborate ideas on?
I don't know if we could talk about it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe it wasn't a lie. Maybe we just played three truths.
Oh, wow.
That's not the first time someone's
messed up the game. Internet, you just got played. We're still taking the victory, though, guys. That's exciting. And I understand you guys, obviously, it's a long ways away, so you don't have to dig into it. But tell me about this haunted house. Did you see a ghost, more importantly?
Well, I didn't see a ghost, per se. But him and his one of his cooks definitely did, because they were shook.
What, really?
I'm not a ghost person. I mean,
that's what people who are afraid of ghosts say.
No, I wasn't a ghost person up until that time. So we were in Portland doing an event, and then our friend Earl
rented us an Airbnb.
God bless you,
Portland,
Earl.
Oregon.
Yeah, Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
He rented us an Airbnb. It's quite nice outside. It's warm. You don't need a jacket. We walk inside this house, like, covered in overgrowth, and then it's freezing cold. Because I remember I put on a jacket, you put on a jacket. Daniel walked in. He's like, this isn't right.
And I took it upon myself to kind of just walk through the house like, hey, you know, who's taking which room? And it just seemed really, really odd. Really.
Was it like an energy or?
It was the energy.
Okay. It was the energy. And it was like the way the house was built, it was hiding weird spots of shadows.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really natural. And it was at night, so.
Would you bad say feng it's shui. Supernatural?
Bad feng shui would be
bad
the
feng shui, okay. For sure.
And then at this point, Daniel, one of our cooks, is like freaking out. And I'm just like, Daniel, don't be a wimp. I'm gonna open every door in the house to show you that there's nothing here. So I turn on all the lights, and I walk around, open all the doors, and I went to the last door, and it's about, I want to sit, maybe like 6 feet high.
Yeah.
A little, maybe a little lower. And then I just pop it open. There's a light behind me, so you would assume this light would shine into this whatever it is. I open it up. There's a steep, narrow stairs. The light behind me is lighting up everything except this like dark corridor. And then there's like a painting of like this really old dude just at the bottom, and that's the only thing that's lit up. Like not the steps, not anything else.
Sounds like someone did that on purpose.
I don't know, but it was pretty eerie, and like everybody kind of freaked out. They're like, we cannot stay here. We gotta get a hotel room. We gotta go. Like, we have to go.
Because Daniel was like, that's bullshit. And then yeah. I'm like, Daniel, don't go open it. And he opens it, and he, like, just stops talking for, like, 20 minutes.
Wow.
But then I wanted to go see it. And they're like, no, don't. And I'm like, all right, fine. Let's just go find a hotel room. And, yeah, it was...
Yeesh.
It was a little cool. Freaky, for sure.
And then you guys were in Tulum together. Or is this the same trip, or is this a
different
separate trip?
Yeah.
Separate trip, okay. How was Noma, by the way?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Probably one of the best meals ever.
I went to Arca last year when we were down there, but...
That's really good, too.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
actually bang-banged
oh,
before
nice.
Noma.
Yeah, that was rough.
It was intense. I think we had like four meals before we ate at Noma.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, but it was like a group of six of us, and we kind of just ordered a few things and kind of just nibbled. So it wasn't like a full-on meal before eating at Noma, but it was a lot of fun.
Lunch that day was really good. We ate at a Cochinita Pibil place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I think that was the best meal other than Noma.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Bang-banged? Is that back-to-back
back
meals?
Back-to-back, yeah.
What? Okay. You don't know the bang-bang?
No, I don't.
Bang. All right, maybe we should spell it out. It's not sex. It's the repeated eating of a meal. So you could do, they can be thematic. You could do like a chicken wing bang bang where you like have back to back wings at different places. Or you could just have another dinner after your first dinner.
Okay, I'm going to have to start using this.
So bang, that was bang. A bang bang
bang bang
bang.
Yeah, bang 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 for sure.
Wait, but there's something called bang bang noodles too, right? Which is different? Or is that, there's a chef. God, Chef Brad over at Ellie, which is nearby. Yeah, bang bang noodles, right?
Yeah,
that's his thing.
Totally different.
Okay. Well, bang bang.
Bang bang. You and I bang bang before. Just putting that out there.
Everyone loves a good bro bang bang.
Yeah.
Did we do it recently?
I think where did you guys bang bang?
Did we do it last week?
Yeah, well, we went to DuPont, and then we went to Chef Boulard's.
Oh, yeah, did Chef Boulard's over at DBGB. And I think I may have had another meal after that, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I do it on a regular basis. I just don't have a weird name for it.
Bang banging is natural. Bang bang is totally natural. It happens to all humans.
Okay, before we go down that hill, maybe we should just take a quick break. And we can recoup ourselves after a nice bang bang.
I'm sweating.
I have the Cholito burps too. Yeah. Okay, we are here with John and May from LA. I'm here with Matthew as well.
West Coast Invasion.
Please come back. You're listening to Full Service Radio.
The tracks you're listening to during the break are by artist Kiedo, that's K-I-E-D-O. If you're tuned in, you're listening to Full Service Radio. We'll be right back.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. You're listening to Shift Drink. We have Mei Lin and John Yao from our LA side of things joining us in town. You guys are doing an event tomorrow. Let's talk about that briefly. You and what, six other chefs are cooking at Makedo?
Yeah. It's really exciting.
What is this event?
It's part of the James Beard kind of celebrity chef tour. You're both on the echelon of celebrity chefs.
May is for sure.
No.
You have to be.
I mean, May's a mayor in Los Angeles.
No, I am not. Far from.
Through the farmer's market.
What does that mean?
Just waving like, hello. Like kissing babies, signing foreheads.
May can't control herself right now. She's, yeah.
I mean, I would assume that there should be like a mayor of who dominates the LA food scene when it comes to just big personality and being the mayor of the chef mayor of the town?
I mean, I'd say Wolfgang Puck is the mayor of LA.
Yeah.
Really?
Because he bridges celebrity and chef.
Yeah, we got Jose here.
Jose.
Yeah.
Jose's big in LA too.
Jose's really big in LA. Yeah. I mean, Jose's got Bazaar in LA.
Yeah, he's out in LA as well.
And he's
got
Somni, so.
Yeah.
So it's Jose's trying to encroach upon Wolfgang territory.
I mean, Wolfgang pretty much owns LA though. So, I mean, he's got like, I mean, how many different restaurants in LA?
He has more than enough restaurants in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, in this day and age though, like being a popular chef no longer just means you're amazing at making food. You guys have to do a lot of media now. You're doing pop-ups. You're doing podcasts, TV shows. Is this a side of things that you guys enjoy as chefs?
I think that you have to just kind of promote the restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I enjoy it. Some things I do enjoy, but some things, I mean, I don't care to be on TV.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember reading with Top Chef, like that wasn't something you were kind of actively pursuing.
It just, no. it just kind of, it happened, and I'm really glad it happened. Right place, right time.
Yeah, I don't like being, like, filmed or photographed. So, I don't like doing media other than, like, podcasts because it hides your face.
But you got such cool glasses.
Thank you. I was considering not wearing them today.
Definite win.
But, I mean, okay, so you're going to be up on stage. I mean,
no. What?
Do you have your speech ready?
I don't have I'm not going to prepare a speech because I don't want to, like, set myself up to be disappointed.
That's very humble.
So if I'm just not gonna prepare.
But you're gonna be thrown. I mean, okay. But it can happen. It can happen. And you're gonna be thrown into the spotlight, and you're gonna have to gird your loins, and kind of.
I mean, we've done
be that guy.
We've done a good job hiding so far. So I feel like it won't change. It's okay. But every time, like, if we do something, I just think about the welfare of the restaurant and, like, everyone who works there. We do need the business. But I don't necessarily want to be on TV or anything.
I think, I mean, David Chang has talked about that a little bit, about one of the reasons why he does some of the media he does, and the reason why he opens up new restaurants is for the welfare of his of everyone who works underneath him. They got to keep growing to keep giving talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. That is true.
I mean, you guys are operating two of the most exciting restaurants right now in the U.S. Both happen to be in L.A. Did you guys? You guys are friends. How did you guys? Did you guys ever work together?
We actually, when Cato first opened, we kind of decided to do this pop-up dinner at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of how the friendship began. With one of our fellow chef friends in LA, which we, you know, at the time I didn't have a restaurant yet, so kind of just wanted
when did Nightshade open?
We opened January 2nd of 2019, so earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, so we did a Chinese-themed dinner.
That was really fun.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, you know, getting to know, like, chefs in LA and just kind of just trying to build a community and you know, work together. I think every city needs that, and
I feel like it's a little weaker in LA. Like, there's not as many, like, relationships and bonds.
Is it because the city is so large?
I was gonna say that too, but, like, compared to Washington, I feel like everyone in Washington is super close despite it being really dispersed.
I mean, yeah, it's something in DC that I think we have in spades. I think a lot of the industry and chefs are connected here.
Well, just a little bit of the idea is, like,
we're smaller.
We're smaller, but we were also playing second fiddle to New York for so long that
there
is a little bit of camaraderie in being
an underdog.
Yeah, exactly. actually, a friend of mine who lives out in L.A. wanted me to ask you, and it has something to do with the sprawling nature of L.A. Is, like, does a sprawling city like L.A., does it help or does it hurt a growing food scene? Like, are people, it makes it more difficult. Is it more fun or is it more difficult for people to go out of their comfort zone and find new places to eat?
I mean, there's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both. Just because, I mean, I think it's fun to explore and to find new places to eat. But also, do you want to sit in traffic to get to that place? So it's a, you know, it's a pro and con.
Because personally for us, we're in a neighborhood that's kind of hard to get to, like, during rush hour. So if it's not a Friday or a Saturday, our 5:30 to 6:30 seatings are usually way lighter. And we get hit all at once at 7:30.
And that's the same for us, too.
Yeah. Because people are trying to brave traffic to get to your restaurants.
Right.
Yeah, Nightshade's in the Arts District.
Yeah.
And where's Cato?
We're in West LA, but it's, like, this weird area code that's, like, maybe, like, a little less than a square mile between Brentwood, Westwood, and Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm. So you guys can basically clock the time it takes for people to get from where they were to where you are.
You can immediately tell because...
based on traffic.
Like, on Saturdays, we'll book a ton of 5:30 tables, but, like, not all the time on weekdays.
That's really interesting.
That's quirky. That's something that we are totally not aware of. People... I mean, if it's not near a metro station, it's very hard to get people to go outside.
Yeah, because a lot of our restaurants don't even have parking, which is unique. I mean, you got your guys' styles are different, but you guys kind of seem to pull inspiration from the same source, which seems kind of rooted in your personal stories and your childhood. What is it like? I mean, how do you guys kind of come up with your recipes and your what's like recipe development like? Because I feel like you were working on your opening menu, kind of leading up to it, with your pop ups and stuff. And John, your menu kind of seems to bend on a whim sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, we change our menu quite often. Sometimes me or my sous chef, we just crave stuff from our childhood, so we'll try to recreate it in a familiar way, but present it differently, I guess.
Like what are some examples of that, maybe?
So right now we always explain that our menu is based on like Asian American nostalgia. So there's like a baked good in Asian bakeries. It's like it's called a bolo bao. I used to fucking hate it when I was a kid.
Because
they're called pineapple. Did you call them pineapple buns too?
Yes, bolo bao, yeah.
But like when I was a kid, I was like, fuck, I love pineapples. Let's get this. let's get this bun. But there's nothing in it. It's just sweet bun. And I wasn't too into sweets when I was a child, so
okay. You know why it's called pineapple bun, right?
Because of the striations that form on the top.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I was going insane. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no pineapple in it whatsoever. It's just the way that it looks. Like the topping on top, they put like a sugar topping, and so when it, you know, they put the ridges in there, right, like the diamond shapes, and that's why they call it pineapple buns. But there's no pineapple in it. You can get it plain, or you can get it with like a cream filling in the center.
It's like selling a chocolate chip cookie with raisins.
Oh, that's fucked.
And they're chocolate chips.
But the best like is a chocolate chip.
The best is having it in Hong Kong or Macau, where they do really with hot bun and ice cold butter.
Oh, okay.
So good.
But then we do it at the restaurant before the foie ban. We did it with foie, and we actually filled it with pineapple. So it's just one of those things where you eat it and it seems familiar, but it's a little different.
It's also like a personal kind of fuck you.
Yeah, definitely.
There's actually going to be pineapple in this.
But it's like it's familiar enough where it's like, oh, I can see how this is like, this would eventually become like a food like tradition. It's not weird like, oh, I stuffed Alpha Store in a pineapple.
Right.
But that could be like Cha Siu Bao.
Okay, so I'm wrong. But it's like for us, it just feels like a natural progression. And that's what a lot of our dishes are like to me right now.
Right on.
And is this a way of a lot? I'm all about making food accessible and how to make it accessible to people who aren't familiar with the flavors that you necessarily grew up with. Is this what you have to do to necessarily get people in the door?
Because we started the restaurant out, we labeled ourselves as a Japanese-Taiwanese restaurant because Taiwanese people are essentially Chinese and Japanese kind of like intermingled. We started off doing that, but I felt like we were being untrue to being Taiwanese. So we try to lean more towards Taiwanese now, but people usually don't have a reference point for it, so we're trying to create things that are fairly comfortable and easy to understand and kind of introduce Taiwanese food that way. Because it's still pretty, like, abstract, I guess, if you look at it. It's not like how other Asian American chefs are just recreating, like, oh, we do beef noodle or, like pork and rice.
Right.
It's not direct, but we do our best to at least, like, educate the diner a little on what Taiwanese food is.
Is there another dish that you've reinvented? Or?
There's this soup. I know people don't necessarily like the texture of, like, it's not familiar to the Western palate because soups in Taiwan, they thicken it with arrowroot and cornstarch, so it's like gloopy. So that kind of texture...
Gloopy is a great word for it.
Yeah. There's another word, but I don't know if it's appropriate to say it. But we, like... The texture is just really weird, but Taiwanese people love it. So it seems more familiar as a sauce, so we just kind of made it into like a fish dish.
Ah, okay.
And people usually love it because you're not drinking a spoonful of it. It's just like nicely coating a piece of fish, so.
Right. And May, how do you, like, let's talk about some of your dishes. You have a mapo tofu lasagna.
The blooming onion.
Okay, let's talk about this blooming onion. So, I grew up in Dearborn, Michigan, and, you know, I ate a lot of Middle Eastern food growing up, and I there's not very many. I grew up in a lot of chain restaurants, let's say that. And so Outback being one of them, I think, you know, growing up and kind of eating the Bloomin' Onion, I was a little bit inspired by that. And
I mean, it's awesome.
It's awesome, an awesome blossom.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, I mean, that just developed by, I made this tom yum powder for something else that I had in mind. And, you know, I wanted to have something that that guests can kind of, you know, get their hands dirty and, like, you know, have, get excited about and, you know, something to talk about at the table. And I think that's how that began. But yeah, that's drawing inspiration from my childhood, something I grew up eating. And yeah, the Mapo Tofu lasagna is
so good.
You know, Mapo Tofu I grew up eating, and I love making pasta. So I kind of just fused the two together.
Sounds amazing. But sentimentality is a very powerful tool, I feel like, in the chef world that, like, A, it's you're cooking what you know, but B, like, it's it also for, like, the people that are enjoying your food, it's something that they can also relate to and kind of, like, I don't know, talking about pineapple buns, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a couple of chefs here in DC trying to do the same thing. I mean, we have Eric, Tim Ma.
Yeah.
Eric's part Taiwanese too. Yeah. I've had his food is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, we just ate lunch there. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
At
Makedo.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think we should cut to our next little segment.
Yeah, we're going to start wrapping things up. I think we have a little
segment. Game of Thrones segment.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit.
Fuck all you.
John's brought it up twice. He really wants to talk about it, and he's our guest. So
I wanted to spoil it, but I feel bad. I'm not going to...
All right, everyone, spoiler alert. Matthew, you can take off your headphones.
I'm just not going to hear it with my real ears.
I think you're just going to have to step outside.
No, we're not doing this. I would hate it if someone did this to me.
Yeah, and Eddie Kim acknowledged the fact that he's only seen 10 minutes of Game of Thrones in his whole life, and it was last night, so fuck you, Eddie Kim.
What? Arguably the strongest 10 minutes of any episode.
I watch it when it's good.
I am waiting for my person to get home to watch it, so... Easy. All right, this is a segment we call Rapid Fire.
Time for the payback.
Game of Thrones stuff.
Rapid Fire.
All right, so this is just like a series of questions that we ask, and this is just kind of tip of the tongue responses, whatever comes to mind.
Oh, we're not good at this.
Yeah, we're so bad.
Just
at this.
Censor it.
We'll ease you into it. John, who do you wish to die first?
Oh, come on, man.
in Game of Thrones. I'm sorry, I should have put that in context. In Game of Thrones.
Cersei.
There you go.
Eddie, I'm breaking up with you.
What? This is just conjecture.
All right. What is one ingredient that each of you shy away from using in your kitchens and why?
We don't use butter.
I use butter. Man. I actually use butter.
John, why don't you use butter?
Well, we try not to use butter. We only use it for desserts.
Yeah.
It's just not something you find in Asian food.
Sure.
So we place
dairy
that
in general.
Yeah, we place that limitation on it. Because I'm personally lactose. Like if I do two yogurts, like, I'm done for the day.
Yogurts. Yogurts, too.
I also read that salmon is one of your downfalls as well.
Salmon?
I actually hate salmon.
Yeah, I don't do salmon either.
All right.
May, is there an ingredient you just don't... You don't fuck with salmon?
I don't like eating it raw. I'll eat it cooked.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're sitting in LA traffic, what's something that... The first insult that come to mind when you yell at someone?
Oh, this isn't good.
Motherfucker.
I was going to say that, too.
Nothing in Chinese?
No.
No?
I don't know. You need them to understand...
But your windows are rolled up. They can't hear you.
Oh no, mine are down.
What's the most influential cookbook in your collection?
Oh geez, this is like, I have so many, but I always go back to the Flavor Bible.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a really good book.
It is cool.
It's a good reference book, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something you can like go back to and be like, oh, yeah. And just like kind of retool things.
I like the Kikunoi book. That one's great. It's the way they do things is different, so it's always a great reference. It kind of refreshes what you think about food.
Right on.
Val Kilmer was in town recently.
What?
Yeah. We have Awesome Con here in D.C. It was this weekend. And Val Kilmer was here. So what's your favorite Val Kilmer movie?
Batman.
I was going to say Batman. Yeah, I don't... What else? what else?
MacGruber?
The Doors.
Did you say MacGruber?
Yeah.
He was in MacGruber?
He was the villain in MacGruber. That's was most recently.
The Saint?
Yes.
That's a classic.
He's in that movie with like the cow and the nuclear... hackers thing. I forget what it's called.
I'm just trying to put this together in my mind what that would be. I have no idea.
Okay. Anyways, Val Kilmer, very prolific
movie. He's done some stuff.
Favorite noodle dish?
Favorite what kind of?
Noodle dish.
Noodle dish. Pho.
I like beef noodle soup or ramen. It's tied for me.
What kind of ramen?
I like chicken and soy ramen, but it has to be clear. It can't be boiled down.
Ooh.
And it has to have a lot of, like,
actually,
dry fish.
Mine's chicken pho.
Chicken pho.
Pho-ga.
Yeah.
Pho-ga. All right. Worst cut in graphic detail.
Oh, I have a good one. You first or me first?
You can go first.
Well, I like sliced the tip of my thumb off because someone bumped into me. And then I was like, oh, it's fine. I was just holding on to it. And then I started running my hand under and like the faucet like turned red. And then it was like dangling off. And I was like,
making everyone's butt cheeks a clench.
Because I was like, I can make it through service. And it was like burning when I was running cold water over. It was burning. And I was like, I can make it through service.
Just sear it on the plancha.
Like cauterize it. But I thought I was fine. Like someone helped me wrap it in gauze and I just went back to work. And as I was walking out of the locker room, I like fainted and I ate shit. So I had to go to the ER. It was a Saturday. And then I went there, and then they're like, we have to cut it off. It's going to get infected. We have to cut the nub off. So then she was like, don't worry. The worst part of this is how I'm going to numb your hand out. So she takes a huge needle, sticks it through like the palm of my finger into like right like this knuckle.
He's showing a visual, and it's literally from the base of his palm up to his thumb.
It was a huge needle. Ooh. And then... it obviously hurts very much because they're shooting it up here. It feels like someone's sticking ice cubes into your veins. And then...
God, who needs Game of Thrones when you got you talking about this?
So then the nurse puts my hand on like a mini operating table and she pulls out a scalpel and she's like slicing through it. And then she's like, please don't watch. And I was like, I have to. Like, I need to know what's going on because I'm the one that has to deal with it. And then she's like halfway through and she's like, I don't think...
Everybody has stopped looking at John. We're all looking elsewhere.
She was like, I don't think you need to cut it off. I was like, you're halfway there.
Oh.
Do it. And then she's like, no, I think this is going to ruin your nail bed. I was like, you've ruined my nail bed. So then they get like, she's like, don't worry, this is like super glue, but the military uses it for like huge gashes. So she glues my finger together and she's like, just don't do anything for it. You'll be fine. Just keep it dry. So I have to keep it wrapped up for work. Blah blah blah. I like take it off 3 days later and it smells like a fucking dead body. And then
how do you know what a dead body smells like?
I'm assuming it smells like this because it smells like rotten meat.
I'm
never asking this question again, by the way. I regret this question.
It was really bad. Like my finger was like discolored, and then she was like, the glue won't come off for 2 weeks. 3 days in, it's falling off. So I just used regular super glue and I glued it for the next month.
Can I see your other finger?
Yeah, but there's like a line. You can see the line there now.
It looks totally normal to me.
Yeah, it looks fine. You can just see a line there. Yeah. But at first she was like, I don't think you're going to grow a nail there anymore.
Ugh.
but I'm fine. Look at me now.
Yeah.
You told her.
Yeah. I told her.
My story is definitely not that bad.
Thank you.
Mine's just a mandolin story.
Oh, I hate mandolins.
It's just a mandolin story. But it was a brand new mandolin, and it it actually attaches to the KitchenAid. It's one that...
Oh, my gosh.
Is it the sheeter? It's the sheeter. Okay, because I actually didn't really know how to use it. I was trying to take it off, but the guard wasn't on it, so I just nicked it, and my fingertip just fell off. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was just pissed. I wasn't even like... It didn't hurt or anything, because it was just... such a clean slice. I was like, motherfuck, now I have to go to ER. Like, now I have to go to urgent care. So I had to go to urgent care.
Did you say it was a clean slice?
It was a clean
slice. It's like a KitchenAid ad.
Dude, it was so bad. But yeah, it wouldn't stop bleeding. But yeah, they just...
Chefs always make sure your knives are sharp.
Yeah, they...
that way it's just a clean cut.
Yeah. That's why it's clean.
It, I mean, it grew back, so it's totally fine, but...
Okay. This will be my last question. If you were to open up a new place that served only one dish, played one kind of music, or one band or musician, and one beverage, what would it be?
Where would it be?
What would it be?
Oh, what would it be?
Like, what were the three things? Your dish, your music, your drink.
I'll do congee. Ooh. Hong Kong milk tea. And Drake.
I knew you were going to say Drake. I knew you were going to say Drake. Not even like new Drake.
Old Drake. Old Drake.
Like best I ever had Drake.
Yeah.
I think I would do beef noodle soup, Migos. And pineapple strawberry liqueur. Shit. It's coming full circle.
Wow, that's great. Well, speaking of full circle, we have a special episode of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Okay, so before I found your flavor LaCroix, I found three other ones. So we're going to do a Fuck, Marry, Kill.
For the record, Eddie went to four different stores to find pineapple fries.
And it was just down the street. We're going to do a Fuck, Marry, Kill. So you got to fuck one, marry one, kill one. But also we're going to do it blind in these paper bags and that's see if awesome. You can identify the flavor.
I've been training for the past 3 years for this.
You both can... I mean, this is like made for John, but made you know, you should participate.
It all comes down to this.
Okay, this is going to be difficult. I have like the big lunch size bags, right. Not like
it's
the actual.
It's gonna be slightly on the honor system, John.
Oh man, should we grab some straws?
I don't know if we have straws. And if we did, they'd be paper.
This is peach.
Oh, he's right. Confident out of the gate.
It's all nectarine. Right.
So
and peach.
Number one, peach. Says John. I actually don't know the answer to any of these.
I mean, you can tell by the color of the top of them too. It's going to be very much
cheating. I'll dabble.
All right.
This better not be coconut. this is passion fruit.
Oh shit!
Right.
I'm gonna give this last one to May first.
I'm gonna be pissed if it's coconut.
The best flavor of all.
We look like degenerates.
Oh, I love this one. Tangerine.
Tangerine!
Tangerine's good too.
All right.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it is.
All right, you have to fuck, marry, kill one of these flavors.
Well, you got one of them wrong, first of all.
Yeah. Well, no, you got it kind of right.
The first one. I didn't like the first one, so I'll kill that one.
Okay.
I'll marry the passion fruit.
Number two.
And I'll fuck the
She's gonna fuck tangerine. First one was peach pear.
Peach pear, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second one was passion fruit.
Oh, the big reveal.
The third one's actually pamplemousse.
Oh! Pomple coconut. I like pamplemousse. I'd marry pamplemousse.
All right, so marrying pamplemousse.
Kill peach pear. Marry, or fuck passion. That sounds good.
Yeah,
good.
That works.
Anyways.
We're like La Croix Somme's.
La Croix Somme?
Somme's?
That was La Croix.
La Croix Somme.
Croix Somme. Possum is my spirit animal.
I'm pretty confident there's some diehard fans out there who probably can identify the entire line. We'll put that challenge out there. If anyone wants to message us and say they can do a blind tasting of the entire LaCroix line of
including cola,
sodas,
which is really hard to find,
we will take you up on that challenge and give you a small trophy if you do it.
Thank you, you two, for joining us this week.
Thanks for having us.
I know you guys have a lot to do between today and tomorrow night. Definitely, tomorrow night's sold out, right?
Tomorrow night is sold out. John, you have an event coming up with Baru.
Yeah, in LA. May 13th or 14th. We're also sold out, though, unfortunately.
Okay. Oh, that's an awesome thing.
Baru is my favorite Korean restaurant out there. So.
Yeah, Kwang's awesome. He does great food. I think he's doing Taiwanese food, and I'm going to do Korean food, so it'll be fun.
Oh, any ideas?
Well, I'm making ingredients for his stuff, and he's making ingredients for us, so it'll be cool.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, because we usually end on a rice course, so we're collabing on a rice course where we're going to do rice and soup. So very excited.
Sounds great. And this is part of LA Food Bowl, which is a month-long event over in LA.
A lot of chefs
collaborating with each other. Chef Kunanen, Tom Kunanen from Bad Saint, will be out there on the 20th.
Oh, they are?
Doing an event.
Where are they doing it?
At Mam Sur.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to Mam Sur.
Same.
Yeah.
Me neither. I like Rice Bar, though.
I like Rice Bar.
Yeah.
Rice Bar's really close to me. I go quite often.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
And May, do you have anything coming up?
I don't. Just working at the restaurant.
Just drinking that kombucha. Yeah. Your brand new restaurant. Yeah, a lot of all your focus is there, I'm sure. Anyway. So thanks for joining us this week. Everyone can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including Spotify. And you can catch us on all the social media accounts as @ShiftDrinkDC. Don't forget to throw us a very quick review on iTunes. And we're also on Yelp, but please only leave 1-star reviews. That's all we accept.
Yeah. we're shooting for the low bar here. That's our...
Just be as harsh as possible.
Do you want comments attached to the 1-stars? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. I mean, you can rate us as podcasters.
Pleasure reading. Is
and you'll rate here. Us as well?
No. It's totally one-sided. Like, we just take it.
Yeah, we'll just go on your restaurant.
Yelp for Yelp.
Yeah. Like, Yelp for Yelp, guys.
I never get to the restaurant, but as podcast guests, they're terrible.
Yeah. and a special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux for our intro music and DJ Rectech for the hilarious sound effects.
All right, thank you.
Until next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.